Lord, thank you tonight for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather we've had these past few days. Lord, we rejoice in your majesty and the beauty of your great creation. Lord, we can't wait to see what heaven is, Lord, like, to be able to see you face to face, and Lord, to worship you with the saints of old as well as those here. Lord, we pray, though, that we'll be busy doing the master's work, your work, until you come, Lord. There's much to do. We think of many who have never heard the gospel, never heard the fact that Jesus loves them, died for them. They can know Jesus Christ. They can know God personally through the work of Calvary, Lord. And I pray you'd help each of us, Lord, to be praying and pursuing others for the gospel's sake. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here tonight, those that may be watching from home. Several in our church family are battling sickness, Lord, I know. Several of our families and individuals, Lord, just having to stay at home because of some virus things going through the family. Pray for needed rest and strength for each of these homes and families, Lord, and they'll get to feeling better here pretty soon. Lord, we do lift up two of our missionary families. We praise the Lord that the Tacklobs, I believe it's their two daughters, are doing a little bit better after some very high fevers and virus. We pray for continued healing, Lord, no doubt, as they're getting ready, Lord, to come over to the States here. Lord, there's lots to be done with the passports and different things with the paperwork. So, Lord, we pray that you would help them not to be anxious, not to be, Lord, too worried, just to be able to rest in you. We pray for healing for the children. We pray for the paperwork and things that come in as needed, and that they'll be able to have a safe flight over when they come, Lord, and just an opportunity to be able to visit with family and churches. We pray for the Purvises, Lord, faithful servants of you for many, many years, Lord, and we pray for Susan Purvis, Lord, as she has had some form of a seizure, some health issues now. Lord, I pray that she would be doing much better if it's your will. I pray that the doctors would have gained a little bit more insight on maybe what was going on and how they can treat this. We pray for needed rest. We pray for Melvin, Lord, also as he's busy full-time at the college, that you would help him to also be able to be able to rest and relax in you and leave it in your hands, Lord. Thank you that many are praying. May we continue to pray for healing, for wisdom in the days ahead, some decisions perhaps that have to be made. But Lord, if it is your will, that she'd have a full recovery and be able to be okay, Lord, and get back to home. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity tonight to worship you. We thank you for our brother and his wife, Lord, as they've been up in the Pennsylvania now for several weeks and preaching and visiting churches now, Lord. We're thankful for the opportunity to have them here tonight. Use what you've laid on this heart, Lord. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Apply to each of us, Lord, as only you can do. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll imagine. Stay standing as Mike comes as you grab that hymn book.
All right, we are going to sing number 405. But before you get started here, I want to give a really quick lesson on that song that Adam and I sang this morning. I looked up that song when we started rehearsing it, and to just see if I could find online so I could rehearse it on my own. Well, I found out that the fellow that wrote that when he was 10 years old was gifted a guitar and started writing songs immediately. Musical family, country and western was what they were all a part of, and so he started writing country and western songs, and the initial flavor of that song was more leaning toward a country and western, definitely not the arrangement that we sang this morning. But he grew up with a lot of biblical knowledge, just obviously the content of that song. Well, as time went by and he's singing this song, he's realizing that, wait a second here, Christ died. What's this song about? This song is about Christ dying for sinners. He didn't have to do that, but he did for the redemption of the lost. Realized that as a kid he had prayed a prayer, but never actually, he just basically did it. You know, hey, you got to, it's like, hey, you know, you guys grow up in church. It's like, hey, you got to get saved. Pray this prayer. Growing up in church didn't make him a Christian, as we've heard the old expression, any more than living in a garage is going to make you into a car. And so he realized that by singing and listening to his own song and the message in that, that he wasn't saved. And through the song that he wrote as an unsaved person, it turns out, he ended up accepting Christ as his Savior, and then went on to write more biblical based songs, and so it was kind of neat when I read that. So just a little tidbit of knowledge, info there. 405, trusting Jesus, simply trusting every day. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my
Oh,
5:30.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Will save.
Sorry about that.
Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings are wearied and grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. How to prepare a way, patiently
the Lord for the words of that song. All right, just before we have two of our teens come and give a quick missionary update on two of our missionaries. So after they come, then we have some special music. And after the special music, we'll ask Brother David Bennett to come and open the Word of God. So after special music, when he's coming at that time, the young people, Little Tykes for Truth, will be dismissed with my wife and helper. So just make note of that. So just before they do that there, again, it's good to have Pastor John Hunter. John, you want to introduce who's with you tonight?
We have Mark Schaefer and Ernie Church.
All right.
And my baby daughter, Sarah.
All right. She's the one already been embarrassed, all right, from my gobble there. All right, very good. Well, good to have them here with us tonight. That's where David, a good friend with Pastor John, been up there with them for several weeks. And again, we're thrilled to have the Bennetts. And I've only met the Bennetts tonight, have spoken on the phone once to them, but there again with Silent Word Ministries. He'll be telling you more about that. Many of you know we support Bruce and Amanda Stewart, as well as Carrie Whaley, who are with Silent Word Ministries. And so he's one of the directors there. Been up in Pennsylvania for several weeks now, visiting churches, going to get ready to head out of state to some other churches down south. So we're thrilled to be able to have him here tonight. And we've got David going to come first, I believe, and give an update. And then after that, Sydney. And then when she's finished, our ladies will come.
Hello, everybody. I'm new to this, and I didn't write anything you say word for word. Just highlighted some key points, so got to work with me. But I am going to be reading parts of a letter from the Comstock missionaries to New Zealand. One of the first things they bring up is how the Pipers are back, and that they asked for us to please pray for them and their daughter's family because they're still going through the loss of a loved one. But they also pray for some more opportunities to spread the gospel through the passing of that loved one, and how they mentioned that already there have been at least two that have turned to Christ through this hard time that they're going through. So that's a blessing. Since their last letter, they've had a teen activity in their town that they're able to be a part of, as well as two other churches. And for this particular activity, they met a few teens and as well as adults that were helping, that not helping, but were there, that are unsaved, and that if we could please pray for their salvation. They have a main event coming up, well, a main event that was in April, that they poured a lot of their time in, and it was a youth camp, and the theme was Dare to Disciple. The whole emphasis of it was that everything they learned there, they'd be able to bring back home and be an example to everybody, and they could walk around and everybody knows that they're different, they're a Christian by their actions, and they could just be an example to everybody. They pray for some discipleship opportunities and upcoming teen activities, as well as more decisions to be made at youth camp. You know as much as I know that a lot of people, missionaries, preachers, even some of you maybe have made decisions at youth camp, so that's a big deal. They're praising the Lord for two Filipino tradesmen, Alan and, I'm going to say this really wrong, I'm sorry, Rizzolito, that have just moved here. They both know the Lord, and on Wednesdays they help out. On Wednesdays after the service, they led another Filipino man named Lorenzo to the Lord, and they just want us to pray that they could, they want us to pray that they could help disciple to that man more and get him going in his spiritual life. Family updates. Rebecca just celebrated her 17th birthday. She's progressing well and learning to drive. She continues to play piano every week for most services. Another family update. Something they want us to pray for is Leanne. She just found out she has type 2 diabetes. They say she's feeling and doing well, but just to pray for her that they can adjust to all that. And another thing they want us to pray for is the 2023 youth teen camp. A lot of work needs to go into that, a lot of preparation and funds, obviously, because you've seen the videos on how much are at teen camps and all that. It's a lot of work to get set up. So they just pray that we could pray. They want us to pray for their teen camp coming up, and that's about it.
This is from the Espinels in Uruguay with the EMU International. Down there, it is now fall, beginning to get come fall. In their time there, they have taught a children's class at a family camp and had the privilege to baptize three believers, Teresa, a friend of one of the families there, Graciela, the mother of one of the men at the church, and Ivan, a teen that's been coming with his Christian family to the church. They noted that they rejoice in the fact that God is a personal God and seeks the individual. And I just thought that was a good note to put in here. They had the chance for their Bible college, FEBU, to start off with a two-day retreat, and were glad to be able to fellowship with all the students that came. They enrolled their kids at a Christian school they become familiar with, and though it's a bit of a distance from their home, Brother Espinel is able to stay in the area and work at the church, which isn't too far. And they're glad to be able to have Christian teachers and opportunity to strengthen their Spanish fluency through this. Both Emma and Mrs. Espinel's birthdays were celebrated in March, Emma turning 8. Mrs. Espinel's dad is hospitalized for an infection, and it was found that the melanoma had spread from his lungs to his brain. And they appreciate their prayers for him and his wife. They've also asked us to pray for Mariana and the girl's string teacher and her husband, Sergio, that they would be able to understand the gospel message and turn to Christ. And also for opportunities to witness to Sophia's friend, Priscilla, and her family. Some other prayer requests were funds for to expand the church building, salvation for the friends, contacts, and in their family as well, wisdom for decisions in the college, and wisdom in the kids' schooling. So with love from the SNLs.
I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. It's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing a story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing a story.
Thank you, girls, for singing. There's a new name written down in glory, and we just heard David and Sydney read some missions highlights, and they talked about some people whose names were just written down in glory. Were you laughing at me? Did I say something? Okay. Somebody did something over there. I don't know who. My guess is, just looking over there, that it's David himself. He just got that look about him. But I'm excited for many reasons. One, just being here and seeing the young people involved is exciting. Because the future of this church is the next generation. And if this isn't a training ground, what is? I appreciate you adults giving your time to work with them, help them, giving them the opportunity, brother, and others who are involved, because that's really important to the ongoing Great Commission. If you don't have young people training here in the local church, then what do you have? Because nowadays, we have this idea that we're going to send them away to Bible college for training, which they don't get. They get some teaching for the most part. A few may haphazardly land in a local church near the Bible college where they might get some training. But they really need to be trained right here in the local church. And the best I can see as I've come in and see who's here, and I'm excited that they're participating. That is important. That wasn't in my notes, but I can't help but notice that, because I'm all about training people for ministry. Both, and I have to thank you for supporting Carrie Whaley, Bruce and Amanda Stewart. I have been working with the three of them for years. They're personal disciples of mine, among others. And if it wasn't for discipleship, they wouldn't have been here and on their way to a mission field. Thank you for supporting them. Thank you for supporting all the missionaries that you support. I know some of the people that will be here this month, others that you support. I'll probably mention Rachel Langendorf. Let me just go ahead and mention her real quick. I've been there with them, and I'll tell a story about that, Lord willing, here shortly. But I appreciate your church being involved in training people, men, women. I mean, a lot of times we do a mistake. We call them boys and girls. They're not boys and girls. They're young men, young women, and we as a church need to be training them. And it's been great to see that here tonight. Thank you, Brother Boyer, for inviting me, allowing me this opportunity. As soon as I came in and looked around, met some of the people at the door, more people came in, people helping me. I've been impressed with the attitude, been impressed with the singing, the music, the good spirit. I sense a good spirit. I don't say this every church I go, believe me. In fact, it's rare that I say these things, as I save them for when they're appropriate. And I have sensed a good spirit. I appreciate this church and what it stands for in this town being a light. You know, we invite missionaries in and we think about foreign fields, but as missionaries, my wife and I have been missionaries since 1979, and we understand the importance of starting first in Jerusalem. You are the Jerusalem. And if you aren't doing your job here, then pretty soon prayers will dry up, support will dry up, and we won't be able to reach Judea, Samaria, and most parts of the earth. This is my wife, Vicky. We've been married not long enough, but we were married in 1977, and we'll celebrate 46 years of marriage here next month. It's been my privilege to be her husband and to travel with her and to have her mother give birth to our 10 children. We have 16 grandchildren, 3 more to be born this year. Before the end of the year, that'll make 19 grandchildren. 3 of our children on foreign fields. We have 1 in Africa, 1 in Asia, and 1 in South America with their family serving God. And it's a huge blessing to be involved in missions. Our other children who aren't on foreign fields live in the States, but several of them very involved in missions living here, as you are very involved in missions, though living here. This is a mission field, by the way. Turning your Bibles to Matthew 15. I'm going to get to Matthew 15 shortly. However, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God." Let me repeat that. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness. Wake up, church. The whole chapter is about the resurrection of Christ. Awake to righteousness and sin not. And right off the bat, I say sin not. What does that mean? That means stop sinning. But is he talking about the sin of adultery, the sin of stealing, the sin of cheating? What? He says, "For some have not the knowledge of God." Do you realize that there are literally people here, and not only in Papua New Guinea and Africa, that have not a knowledge of God? And then he goes on to say this, "I speak this to your shame." Shame on us that there are people who still do not know about God. Carlos died. At the age of 33, Carlos died on an operating room table in Brazil, South America. Carlos had never once heard the word God. He didn't know who Jesus was. Carlos was deaf. He was of Japanese parents who had come from Japan to Brazil, grew up in Brazil, and never heard about God. Didn't know what G-O-D, in Portuguese it would be D-E-U-S, Deus, had no idea who that was. However, he was in the hospital when his heart stopped beating. The doctors were right there on top of him already, and consequently they changed the procedure. They are now working on his heart. They get it beating again, and sometime later, Carlos walks out of the hospital alive. 3 months later, Carlos walks into a living room in a small apartment. And he sits in a living room with some other deaf people who have invited him to a Bible study, whatever that is. And he sits there with his girlfriend. And I walk in. I'm introduced to Carlos. I had been holding a Bible study in this apartment for months. Other deaf adults had just been saved in recent weeks and months in that apartment. They invited Carlos and his girlfriend Marisol. They showed up that night. Quickly, I'm thinking, okay, I've got a new couple. They don't know where we're at in the Bible study. I don't want to leave them out in the dark totally. So I went back to Genesis chapter 1, and I just started going through Genesis 1, the 7 days of creation. 6 days of creation and rest. So I'm going through these 6 days, and I take maybe 5 to 10 minutes on each day. When I get to the fourth day, each time I'm saying, God created the heavens and the earth. God separated the waters from the waters in the firmament. I'm explaining it all, obviously. God created the plants, the flowers, the bushes, the trees, the fruits. God did that. God. Day 4, God made the sun, the moon, the stars. I'm explaining it all. I have a flannel graph, Betty Lukin's flannel graph set, and I'm using that. Here I have a whiteboard for when I need to write things down or draw some things. I'm on day 4, and I'm saying, God did this, God did that, God made this, God can do it. It shows God's power. This shows who God is. Only God can do this. And Carlos is sitting there, and I look over at him, and I look at his face, and it's like he's got this big question mark on his face. So I stop. I look at Carlos and say, Carlos, ten problema. Is there a problem? Something wrong? He looked right in my eyes, and he said, what is this? This. I said, that's D-E-U-S. Deus. God. In American Sign Language, it goes like this. In Portuguese Sign Language, it goes like this. Totally different. Portuguese Sign Language, totally different than American Sign Language. 100% different. And most sign languages around the world are different. There's a few that are similar. This one's different. He says, what is God? I said, D-E-U-S, you know, God. So I turn and I take the marker and I write D-E-U-S, Deus. Like, we all know who God is, right? And like, what's that? How do you explain God to someone that doesn't know what God is? So I turn to the other deaf who are in the living room there, and obviously they've known Carlos for a long time, and maybe there's something wrong with my sign language, or he's just not catching it because I'm new. I don't know. Say, would you guys explain to him who God is? And I wait, and they try and explain God to him, and it's like blank face. He's 33. He grows up in a Roman Catholic country where Jesus is on a cross everywhere. He's on a bus, and when he passes any Catholic church, everybody on the bus goes like this. He has no clue who God is, who Jesus is, at 33 years of age. Well, at that point, I didn't know what to do. First time I've ever met anyone who didn't know who God was. So I just went through the fifth day of creation, the sixth day of creation, and explain what God does. On the way home, my son was with me. I said to my son Joshua, well, I don't think Carlos and Marisol will be back because they got nothing out of this. They don't even know who God is. I go home, come back the next week, and lo and behold, there's Carlos and Marisol sitting there in the living room again. Like, they came back? I don't think I would have come back if I didn't had no clue who this guy's talking about. Fast forward 3 months. 3 months. I walk in. The man of the house, Jose Fernando, his sign name is this. Jose Fernando meets me at the door with his big old smile on his face. He's taller than I am, skinny. Big old smile. I say, what's going on? He says, I got a surprise for you. I said, so what is it? He says, in the living room. All in sign language. So I walk in the living room and I look around. I don't see anything different. And Jose Fernando goes like this. Carlos, tell him. I look at Jose Fernando. He tells Carlos, tell him. Tell me what? Carlos, I look at Carlos. Carlos says, I want saved. I almost had a heart attack. 3 months ago, he didn't know who God was. And to be very honest, for 3 months, you know what I'm teaching him? Who God is, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, man, creation, don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't put your faith in yourself. Trust God. Believe God. Obey God. Chapter 3, the fall, sin, Lucifer, the devil. I'm going through basic doctrine as Carlos didn't even know who God was. 3 months, I'm still in Genesis. Because when you work with deaf people who don't know who God is, you go very slow. You have to build a foundation before you jump ahead. It's been 3 months. I look at Jose Fernando, I'm like, how does he know to say, I want saved? He just smiles his big old grin. Jose Fernando's in his late 40s. His left eye didn't exist. He had a glass eye. Totally deaf. So he has one eye. Can't hear. He says, my wife and me, Carlos and Marisol have been coming to our apartment on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, and we've been teaching them everything you've been teaching us. I'm like, what? I didn't know they'd been coming. They come to Bible study on Thursday night, but they're coming on Monday and Tuesday? I forgot to tell Jose Fernando that they can't do that kind of stuff yet. They haven't been saved long enough. These are a deaf couple who just got saved weeks ago, now teaching the Bible to this other deaf couple, and they didn't go slow like I did. They're going fast. And that night, I watched Carlos get on the floor with his girlfriend and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I went back the next week and everybody said, Carlos is a new person. Literally, that's what they said. Carlos is different. His parents want to know what happened to him. Carlos didn't know God, but he knows God today. He and his girlfriend got married. They started having children. They were baptized. They're members in our church, faithful through the years. Carlos didn't even know who God was. And Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let me tell one other quick story since I mentioned Rachel. Rachel Langendorf invited me to come over with the other missionary team that she works with. Why? Because they have a clinic over there up in the mountains in a little place. This is a little bitty place called Ibai. By car, it's 2 days if you don't break down 17 times on the way. By plane, it's only 15 minutes from the next major city of Goroka. We fly into there, little bitty airstrip, fly around through the clouds and the mountains, and you hope you don't hit anything coming down. And there I met a deaf brother and sister. The man's name was Kubu, deaf, no sign language, no schooling, no understanding of God. His sister's name was Waro, W-A-R-O, Waro. Waro had been sold to a man in another village close by, and he mistreated her, but through him she had a baby. She doesn't know how she had that baby. She doesn't know anything about those kind of things. All she knows is her stomach got big, and her parents took her to the clinic where Rachel and the other team members work. Well, they had had other deaf women like Waro come in having babies there, and they couldn't talk to them. Do this, do that, like they would do with other ladies that would come in having babies. They didn't know how to communicate. So they invited us over so they could start learning some sign language and hopefully teach some of the deaf people in the area some sign language so they could communicate when they have problems. And obviously we want to communicate Jesus Christ to them as well. Waro's brother, Kubu, has been attending the church where Rachel and the team, the majority of the team, attend right there on the compound. Kubu had been attending there for 8 years. This is what Kubu does. He's deaf. He walks into church. He has the key to the padlock. He opens the padlock, takes it off, opens the doors. He walks in. He goes over to the wall. There's one spot. He flicks the switch. The lights come on, and he sits right there next to the switch. People come in. The service goes on. They stand, he stands. They sit down, he sits down. When they sing, he stands there. When they sit down, he sits down. When the preaching's going on, he kind of looks like he's looking at them, understanding. He doesn't understand a word. He's been going to that church for 8 years. It's now longer than that, probably 10 and a half now. He doesn't know one thing that's going on in that church. There's no interpreter. Still not an interpreter there. I taught sign language to 15 deaf people while I was there and to some of those missionaries. I hated to leave. I'm going back. I worked with two men specifically to try to teach them sign language and get them started. But there's other temptations and other things going on in the world, and they got sidetracked. Kubu still goes. I was teaching him sign language, his sister Waro's sign language. 3 days after I left, her parents sold her again, this time to another man in a far-off village, for 2 pigs. The sign language I taught her to use with her brother and to hopefully learn about Jesus there in the church, she was sold to a man in another village. No, I'm sure she lost the sign language I taught her in those 2 weeks. These are deaf people for whom Jesus Christ died. But who's going to tell them? In Matthew chapter 15, I want you to look at verses 29 to 31. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them hundreds, probably thousands, have come to Jesus there on that mountain. And they have with them those that were lame, those that were blind, dumb. Usually when they're dumb, that's because they're deaf. They don't speak because they don't learn to hear. They can't hear, so they don't learn to speak, or at least speak correctly unless they've got a little hearing. The maimed, those who have been probably mauled by lions and bears. Remember, David killed a lion and a bear in this same area. And many others. And the multitude cast all these handicapped people, we might call them, down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. That tells me that Jesus cared about them. There was a multitude of people there. Lots of people to preach to. But Jesus didn't start off preaching to the multitude, apparently, this time. Jesus is stopping to care for the personal needs of all these people that nobody had ever cared for before. People needing help. Insomuch that the multitude, verse 31 says, wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. We want the God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Peter, James, and John. We want our God to be glorified, do we not? He will be glorified when we bring people to Christ. And that includes those who have special needs of every type. That includes those who are deaf and blind. Who is going to reach them? On the banners up here, you see a question on this banner. If you don't go, who will? Sorry, you can't see it. But the question is, if you don't go, who will? And the answer is always, oh, he will. Well, I think somebody will go. Somebody ought to go. When the answer ought to be, here am I, Lord, send me. And I'm not just talking to people that are between 10 and 20. I've seen pastors and assistant pastors and Sunday school teachers and deacons give their lives to go into missions because God spoke to them to go, because there's people that need Christ who have not heard about God. These people here, look at it again, verse 30. The multitude had with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. Would any of them got to Jesus on their own? Probably not. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7, quickly. In Mark chapter 7, we have the story of a deaf man. Verse 32, Mark 7, 32. Now let me just say this. The message I'm giving about deaf people, handicapped, disability, multi-disabilities, special abilities, these are physical needs these people have. But they represent not only other people living today with physical disabilities, they represent people who are spiritually maimed, spiritually deaf, spiritually blind, spiritually hurt. Young girls and women go into crisis pregnancy centers for help. They go to the abortion clinics and they come out hurt. Divorce is rampant. People are hurting. Spiritually maimed, spiritually deaf to the word of God, spiritually blind to the things of God. No ability to come to God on their own. Here in Mark chapter 7, you notice in verse 32, I'm going to ask you for the second word. The first word is and. The second word is what? They. Is that singular or plural? Plural. What did they do? They bring unto him, Jesus, one that was deaf. One deaf man, it took several they to bring him to Christ. I can make application to the deaf ministry there. Because it takes a team of interpreters, a team of people who love the deaf, to because of all the time and attention it requires to bring them to Christ. But this one man, it says here in the passage that they besought Christ to touch him, put his hand on him. Jesus, verse 33, says, and he took him aside from the multitude. Now, wait a minute. Jesus does what? He takes this deaf man aside from the multitude? I mean, he's leaving the multitude to go help one deaf man? What kind of sense does that make? I mean, all these people, this big multitude, they need Christ. Jesus ought to preach the gospel. This is a perfect opportunity. He leaves that multitude. He says, yeah, I'm sure he didn't do this with his finger. They probably went like this. Come. He may have got him by the arm, possibly, and led him over to the side, where Jesus gave him special attention. One man in the midst of a multitude. One to Jesus is important. You know that, right? But we don't act like that sometimes. In deaf ministry, working with those with special needs, there's very few on foreign fields who do that. Very, very few. There's no limelight, folks. There's no limelight. It's not glorious. It's just plain time, attention, prayer, and hard work. You don't become famous being a missionary to the deaf or those with special needs. But Jesus wasn't looking to become famous. He's willing to leave a multitude and all the needs this multitude has because there's one deaf man that needs Christ. So what's your dream? What are you trying to become? What do you want to accomplish? Does one deaf soul in Africa matter? Does one physically and mentally disabled 19-year-old boy named Sammy in India matter? I go to India quite often. Last year, in June, I went to teach a module in a university. And one of the students there is in his 40s. He's the director, principal of a high school there in India. And in writing back and forth with him, he told me about his family. I asked him for a picture. He sent me a picture. I knew by what he wrote me that he had a wife, a son, and a daughter. When he sent the picture, the wife was in the picture. He was in the picture, the daughter, the wife, and him, but the son wasn't in the picture. Because I work with special needs, our mission does, and with deaf, and because I travel a lot to these countries, I knew there's a problem here. Because the tendency is for people in these countries to hide a son or a daughter that has any disability whatsoever. They hide them. Here's why they hide them. Because they are worthless. They are no value. I know one lady, she started a school, not a Christian school. She started a little school in Africa for children, and the parents had to pay $9 a month for that child to go to her school. She found out that two of the students had deaf brothers and sisters. And she thought, where do they go to school? Nobody gives them schooling. So she hired a teacher from the capital city to come to her school and start a one little classroom for deaf children. But because they're deaf, she knew that the parents wouldn't pay $9 a month. So she told them it would be $8 a month for their deaf child. Nobody would pay it. $7, nobody would pay it. $5, nobody would pay it. $1, nobody would pay it. They'll pay $9 for their hearing child to go to school. They won't even pay $1 for their deaf to go to school. Do they matter? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, did he die for them too? If you don't go, who will? I put that on the banner because back in 1976, I was at Tennessee Temple Bible College preparing for ministry. God gave me a burden there to reach deaf people for Christ. And in a missions conference, one of the missionaries asked that very same question. If you don't go, who will? If you don't go, who will? If you don't go, if you don't go, if you don't go, if you don't go, who will? I sat there and I looked around at deaf people at our Bible college, studying many of them for ministry. Most of them wanted to be pastors right here in the USA. Some of them wanted to be evangelists here in the USA. But as I looked around at these deaf men and women in Bible school, there was about 40 of them or so, I could count on one finger how many of them were even thinking about going across the ocean to reach others like them for Christ. And that was because his parents were missionaries in Japan. And so he thought he'd go back to Japan and help reach deaf people with his parents. The rest of them weren't interested. Hearing people, not interested. It's a lot of work. You don't reach multitudes when you reach the deaf. When you work with special needs, you don't reach multitudes. But what is missions about? They that have not heard shall see. They that don't know shall understand. Without a preacher, how shall they hear? We had a lady, a Japanese lady, start attending our church in São Paulo. Her name was Olga. When I met her, her husband had just died and gone to hell. Shintoist family. I sat with Olga. She was 55 years of age, Japanese descent. She had already tried several other Oriental cults, religions. She had already been Roman Catholic. And here's what she told me after giving me her testimony. She says, literally, word for word, just translated, I have no peace. About 3 or 4 weeks later, she came to our house. We invited her with some of the other deaf that we were trying to reach for Christ. None of them were saved yet. And they came to our house. Olga came with them. She sat on our sofa, and she started telling me her story and filling in with more information about her life. And once again, she said the exact same 4 words, I have no peace. A few weeks later, she came to our church. She told me more of her story. I didn't have to ask her. She just filled it in. I have no peace. few months later, we had a deaf camp. She came to the deaf camp. We had a man do chalk art so she could see a visualization of the gospel. I gave the invitation. She was one of two Japanese ladies in Brazil who came for salvation. The other lady barely knew sign language. So I asked one of the other ladies that I had led to Christ about a year earlier, I said, Tereza, would you take Sunoko and deal with her? I didn't know what was going to happen there because this lady didn't hardly know any sign language. She was in her 60s. She and her sisters, who were deaf, she had two other sisters deaf, when they were growing up, often were chained to the kitchen table while Dad and Mom would go to work. And they'd be there all day until they came home and let them loose. Teresa led this lady, Sunoko, to Christ. I took Olga, that 55-year-old deaf woman, I took her aside. And I knew that every week she had to make a sacrifice to the Japanese kami, which means their forefathers, the spirits of their ancestors. They had to make that sacrifice once a week. Since her husband died, he was the oldest in the family, it fell to her. So I knew when she came, I asked her, why did you come? She says, I want to be saved. It was going to come down to, do you want Jesus and your ancestors or just Jesus? And I had to make it very clear. I went slowly through the gospel, focusing on that choice that she was going to make. When I came to the end, I said, Olga, if you trust Jesus, you can't trust Jesus and keep on following the gods of your fathers, ancestors. It's Jesus or this, not both. I said, which will you take? Her head went down. She closed her eyes. I waited in the silence. It was about 10 o'clock at night. You could hear the crickets chirping outside. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. What is she going to do, Lord? Help her to do the right thing. Just a short time ago, she had never heard the gospel. She has no peace. She's looking for peace. Oh, God, help her to make the right choice. And after a long silence, she lifted her head. She said, looked at me, she said, I'll take Jesus. And I led Donna Olga to Christ. She became one of the most vibrant witnesses for Christ I've ever known. She wanted everybody to get saved. I'm not here to talk about my mission. Our mission is Silent Word Ministries International. I am here to talk about people. Deaf people around the world. Here's six deaf men that I led to Christ in Africa in one afternoon after working with them for some weeks. We exist to make a spiritual difference in the world of the deaf for the glory of God. A lot of people want to go and teach them sign language and start a school. And learning sign language is important to communication. Starting a school is important to learning sign language. But that's not why we go. We want to make a spiritual difference. We want them to know the God they've never heard of, know Jesus that died on a cross for them that they'd probably have never heard of, and if they have, they didn't hear it correctly because Jehovah's Witnesses got to them before we did. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I go up into the Himalaya Mountains where there are deaf people, no sign language. Adults! They need Christ. Where are the laborers? This is Missions Month, correct? Listen, folks, it's not going to get any easier from tonight, because when you have Craig Hartman here, he's going to nail it. You may not give your life for missions tonight, or to work with the deaf or the special needs, but I'm going to tell you, there's a huge need out there that even our independent fundamental Baptists and Bible and good other denominational churches are not reaching. But maybe by the time Craig Hartman gets here, someone will say, "Here am I, Lord, send me to the glory of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, for the stories of the fact that Jesus came for sinners, and he didn't just come for hearing normal, average people. He came for the deaf, he came for the blind, he came for the maimed, he came for the lame. Those have been hurt in every way. Those who have been ostracized, those who are considered to have no worth, he showed that they have worth. Oh God, thank you for his example. And Lord, Jews need to be saved. Gentiles need to be saved. Women and men, boys and girls. We have all kinds of ministries and hospitals and clinics, schools and Bible colleges, camps, radio programs, TV programs in some places. And I thank God for all of those. But, Lord, my heart's burdened, because as I go, I see deaf people everywhere, and there's not enough laborers. In some places, most places, there's not any laborers as yet to help reach these deaf people and to help reach those with special needs and their families for Christ. Oh God, their deafness, their lameness, their cerebral palsy, their meningitis, their malaria, their blindness, these are all doors to their souls and opportunities for us to give them the message that will change their hearts, change their lives, and take them to a heaven where they will be made whole and walk with Jesus and know the Christ that we know. But Lord, we got to have laborers. We got to have laborers like Jesus who care. Please, oh God, have mercy on them around the world and work in our lives and call out laborers this month here at Independent Bible Church, so that this church will be sending out their own missionaries to help reach the deaf and those with special needs in the future. Oh God, thank you for what they're doing for others. And I pray you would raise up laborers this month and these next four Sundays and in the weeks and months ahead, that some of these men and women sitting here tonight will find themselves in 10, 20 years, or maybe even in 5, on a foreign field helping us reach lost souls for you who have never heard about God but are hungry, who have no peace but are searching. Have mercy, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
How many be willing to say heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight? Now you might be saying, "Wow, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. God stirred my heart there, but now I don't know about me." But perhaps the Holy Spirit directly spoke to you tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to respond before you walk out. You may be older, you may be younger, you may have a family, you may not. You may be in college, you may be in a good job, you may be retired. You might say, "I really don't know how God could use me," but maybe you're just here tonight to say, "Lord, I am willing. I am available. I have no idea what God's going to do. Maybe he just says, 'I've got you right where I want you,' but thank you for being willing." But perhaps the Lord has been tugging at your heart. If not tonight, maybe in previous weeks or even years. Maybe right now your heart's beating, you're scared to death, but you're willing to say, again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're willing to say, "Lord, here am I, send me. I'm available. I'm available. I'm willing, if the Lord were to call me. If that's you tonight without anyone looking, now no pressure. Don't do it for the preacher. Don't do it just because it's, well, no. If God is working in your heart, you just simply say, Lord, I'm not saying I'm going to the mission field, not saying I'm going to change my job, but I'm just here to say, Lord, I want the Lord to know that I am available and willing, however he needs me, whatever that may be. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and hold it there? Lord, I'm available. Now, I know that can be scary. It's okay if you don't. Lord, I'm available. I'm available. You can slip it up right back down. I'm available. Lord, you show me the way. I'm available. Father, I thank you for the message tonight. Lord, we know that the need is great. Lord, we know every day many, many souls, thousands, Lord, die and go to Christless eternity without you. Lord, we know that all around us we rub shoulders, walk by, perhaps even our next door neighbors, our own family, Lord, many who've never heard a simple gospel plan, Lord, right from the Bible. Some who don't know about God, some who are religious but don't know. Lord, I pray that we would not merely be emotionally stirred tonight. Lord, we would not just be sort of fired up tonight over a tremendous message from the Bible, but Lord, we'd put feet to those prayers, feet to those emotions, and Lord, say, Lord, I've got to be used right here in Duryea, right here in the area you've given me. I've got to be bold for the things of the Lord. I've got to keep my eyes open for those that need Christ. And Lord, I pray that those who raised their hand, or maybe they couldn't, but they did in their heart, Lord, show them, direct them. You might have them exactly where you want them right now, and you give them perfect peace. Lord, you very well maybe working in some hearts, calling them and directing them to ministry of some form or fashion. Lord, help us to be willing to trust you and to pursue that. Lord, we thank you for our brother and his wife. Use them, strengthen them. Thank you for their faithful service. Continue to use them, Lord, as they travel, as they go to different countries, as they work with the deaf and others, Lord. We thank you for that. May you give them fruit that remains, Lord, fruit to your account. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.